Yo, where the fuck is Marvel at?
Night lighting a pin in his room, writing novels where he dies at the end.
Yo, where the fuck is Marvel at?
What's that, Plan 50?
News in the van with him. Yo, where the fuck is Marvel at?
Glass of Jack, half full, said he's never coming out until he finds all his in.
Yo, where the fuck is Marvel at?
He's hiding again in his room, writing novels where he dies at the end. Glass of Jack, half full, night lighting a pin.
But the thing that ruined it for me personally is what, like, for Batman and Robin is when, like, you know, like, there's always the part where it's like, he's suiting up.
Batman is suiting up right now. He's putting on his gear. He's putting on his armor. It's like, chest, helmet, gloves. And then in Batman and Robin, it's like, butt.
Yes.
It's like,
yes.
Nipples.
He's got bat nipples.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck, man?
And Arnold Schwarzenegger only talks in puns.
Oh, yeah.
The whole movie.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Batman.
Can you be cold?
Yeah.
You need to chill out.
Everybody.
That party breaks and he's like, freeze.
He's got a bat credit card.
Yeah.
In the movie, he's like, poison out. He's just like, bat credit card. Never leave home without it.
Oh, fuck.
And then fucking Mr. Freeze and his cronies are ice skating. Like, they're on ice skates. That's just their feet.
Yeah.
Like, ice skates.
I remember thinking, even when Batman Returns came out, I thought that was stupid. Like, the way, like all the cronies became.
That's the second Tim Burton one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the one where, like, all the guys were like, they all had, like, a theme. Like, all the bad guys, like, were, like, okay, Batman's gonna beat up all the weird, you know, the weakling dudes. Like, it's almost like watching Streets of Rage being played, or like watching. Here comes Batman. Like, the boss is coming at some point. You just don't know when.
Right. He's gonna roll in on a giant rubber ducky in a sewer. You know, as you do. It's practical.
Yes.
It should be getting recorded.
It is.
So okay. Oh. So I guess this is the Never Nervous podcast.
We have no real intro.
We have no intro. We've never had an intro.
We're not professional.
My name is Phil.
My name is Sid.
We're here with a couple dudes from Shadow Pact. Care to introduce yourself?
I'm Sly Cooper.
And my name is Modern Marvel.
A.K.A. Brad Roeder.
AKA
it sounds
Devin.
Cool saying my rap name first.
No, it's better. Yeah. Go with your heart, man. Yeah.
So, you guys just released a new single. Tell us about it. It's really awesome.
Thank you.
It's called Miami Vices. I really like it. It's called Miami Vice. We wrote about it a few days ago. It's fucking great. This is like one step
from that Chris Farley skit.
You guys remember when you released Miami Vices? That was cool. Like,
next question. Now, this isn't actually a question. I'm just going to talk about what I think about it. But no, like, tell us about that single and like your upcoming EP.
Well, We've always wanted to work with Filthy. Filthy's the mm-hmm. homie.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. Awesome. What's it like working with him? He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's dope, great. Man. We messed around with Touch, and then right before we released the narrative, we went on and did the Filthy Rich podcast, the actual conversations.
Yeah, we did
Corey.
That.
Cool. Yeah.
Corey, shout out to CJ. Prof.
That was fun.
Yeah,
we did that.
Yeah,
we did it too.
Great.
I don't know why we were on it, but because we're just like idiots, we don't even know what we're talking about.
I'd say Never Nervous is a definitely has like a place in Louisville, local Louisville hip hop, and I mean just
we do what
absolutely.
We can.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I mean
absolutely.
For sure.
That's
why you guys were on it. But
right.
Because everybody in the local scene. Really respect y'all. I mean,
okay. Well, that's cool. Sure. Well, that's very nice of you to say.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about it actually, because we were like, man, I feel like we just become a hip hop blog. Which, by the way, it's not like a problem, but
right.
You know, part of the reason that we do that is because fucking the hip hop scene is like bumping. It's
yeah,
like
it's yeah. like we're getting
constantly
yeah.
shit is coming out.
Yeah,
so like
we grew up.
Exciting things coming out that
yeah.
well, we talk about. But
well, we grew up.
I like the sound of that.
Yes. Well, with the two of us, we grew up, Sid and I, mostly like hardcore and punk and stuff, and that's what everything. It just seems like this winter, especially like everything and punk and hardcore and indie rock and singer song anything, everything is just like, it just seems like nothing's like nobody's doing anything. I mean people are
I mean
doing
people
things.
Are doing stuff, it's just slow,
not to the same volume. It just seems like every
well
like every week there's like two or three like new like whoa
I don't think any
shit.
Of this any of this what we came from like okay when I was a kid 7 inches came out more often, so then you had like, you know, single culture, right?
Yeah.
So singles would come out, but then that kind of fell by the wayside because A, vinyl is fucking expensive, and B, Vinyl is fucking expensive. So, you know,
I have
that's all there is to
so
it.
So much money in my vinyl. It's retarded.
You know, yeah. So yeah, like, I mean, to pay, have you guys ever priced what it cost to like be on vinyl?
Yes. Yes.
It's like $2,000 yeah. for the cheap shit.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. like, you know, that singles don't really happen. I think they kind of fell by the wayside in general for music.
Yeah.
But like, I've seen a lot of like hip hop singles that just come out where it's just like, oh, we just wanted to do a song. That's fucking awesome. Yeah. Like, it's hard for me and my band to be like, we're going to practice for sure on Monday, you know, like, but like in the hip hop scene, it just seems like, well, we just did this beat. Let's go do, you know, let's go record to it. You know, let's rhyme over it or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, you get the beat, you talk about what direction you want to go, and yeah. then you pin it out and then
go for it.
You recite it to your homeboy and then you record it, yeah. knock it out.
Yeah, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But
how did you get? Go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
Oh, I was just gonna agree with Brad.
As always.
And the truth.
And let me just remind everybody here, because we are professional podcasters now.
Very professional.
The last run of podcasts we did, we had some volume problems just because we weren't talking into the mic. Just a reminder to everybody. Talking to the mic.
Use your microphone voice.
Use your microphone voice.
Okay.
Get up on it like a big fat.
So here's a question that I have that I don't want to take away from Phil's dad moment. But, so what? How did you guys get into music broadly, and then specifically into hip hop? And those could be one and the same. I realize.
Well,
get them.
I don't know. I'm like I'm a little dude. And in school, I was always, like, picked on, and I could never really defend myself, so I learned how to make fun of people, and they would just leave me alone.
It works. Like,
it's nice.
It's powerful.
Yeah, yeah. And the power of words. So
see, me, I just cried. I didn't do anything about it. I just cried a lot.
Me too, man.
So then, like, it kind of evolved, and, like, I saw these kids, like, at the bus stop, like, were, like, rap battling each other or whatever, and I was like, they're just making fun of them and rhyming. I can totally do that. And so that just kind of evolved into rap battling kids. And then I just kind of messed around with it, had fun with it. It was just silly stuff. And then I didn't really get serious with it until I met Devin and we started actually taking it serious and going yeah. for it.
That's yeah. great. How long has that been now?
2012. Yeah.
Think, yeah.
Cool.
3 years strong.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Woo-woo.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was just like, I just grew up on hip hop, man. Really, from like an early age, I have fond memories of my dad playing like Notorious B.I.G. Ready to Die. That whole record is incredible.
Great
incredible
childhood.
Record. And I was probably like way too little to be listening to something like that, honestly. But
you know,
but I mean, you know, he would just play it on rotation, and I, you know, fell in love with that as well as like the Fugees. Like he big Fugees fan, and so I mean, early on, you know, I really really loved like hip hop and like soul R&B. You know, that's really what I started listening to like at a young age, and. It's kind of evolved from that. It wasn't until I got into high school is when I really started getting into some of the more, like, you know, underground, like, intricate type stuff, you know, like, even like, not so much underground, just, like, kind of, I guess, conscious hip-hop artists like Common and, you know,
right.
Mos Def and Tyler Perry. Yeah. I started really getting into them in high school and really, like, you know, I had a lot of issues and stuff in high school and... Writing, taking cues from
high school is an issue.
Yeah,
yeah. Right, exactly. All 4 years is just yeah. like
exactly. So you know, I just used that because you know I didn't have any other way to. You know, as Brad was saying, you know, I'm kind of a little dude too. I'm not gonna fight nobody. So I mean, right. as far as like any type of issues I had going on, I used writing, you know, as a way to express those feelings and those issues, and that just gradually kind of. You know, with my love for hip hop, just kind of graduated into wanting to be a hip hop artist.
Yeah,
awesome. So
yeah, but I think actually, just like me and Dev, like working together constantly, like meeting Devin made me like a better rapper. Absolutely,
awesome.
Just working off each other and
yeah,
kind of mentored me out a little bit. But yeah, man.
Hey, you know.
I mean,
me too, man. We've both improved since we got together. Because before me and Brad got together, I wasn't really taking it that serious either.
Right.
I would like rap to Aesop Rock and MF Doom beats and like
right.
write to that type of stuff, and you know, record it on like my like shitty Walmart microphone.
Sure.
You know, and then you know, I hooked up with Brad, and you know, he had a lot of potential and everything, and we worked real well together, and we just really start taking it serious.
I mean, that's how you grow.
It is emotional, man.
I mean, I think I had my first recording experience. I got like a karaoke machine, and it had two sides on it. We realized that you could multi-track infinitely on to tape. Wow. Like from one set to the next with this particular karaoke machine, it sounded fucking great. Let me tell you, you couldn't like mix anything, you know. So it was just like whatever the volume was is whatever the volume was. Yeah. But you know, it was useful because I learned like how to play and like you know what would constitute a thing. So now I'm learning by myself in a basement, and then I met up with some people and started you know doing a band, and I've been doing I'll do a band until I die. Like, and I use band in the loosest sense. I'm going to be a musician of some stripe until I can't, you know?
Exactly.
So
your arthritis fingers won't let you play anymore.
I mean, do you guys know what a Moog torus is?
I have no idea.
You know, like the foot switch on an organ, you know, like like a church organ where you can play like the bass notes and shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what a Moog torus is. So if I got arthritis, my legs can still. I'm just saying. And, you know, plus let's not take the future for granted. I'm sure there's going to be some shit where I can just, you know, beam my musical ideas into your brain. So.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Let's just aim high, guys. Yeah. I mean, why stop at a hoverboard? We can go so much higher, you know?
Where is the hoverboard?
It's at that fucking place. Have you not seen it? That's a thing. It's
I saw that.
I saw it, but it was
Tony
a hoax.
Was on it. It's like, is what? That a hoax? That,
from what I read and saw, it was a hoax.
I think it's real, but only I thought it was real, but it was only you could only use it in very specific environments.
Yeah, Sid's right. It's like they had the people that created it had this huge thing, and like, Tony Hawk was in the video on YouTube, has like a million views or something ridiculous. And he's like, woo, and he's like on the hoverboard, and it has to be on some like surface or whatever.
Yeah. Like they have to build the surface special. Yeah. So I mean that's kind of bullshit because like I want to go fight dudes and like trick them into you know falling into manure or something.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know what
get
I mean?
Get together, like, Apple. Why aren't you on?
Come
this?
On, guys. Like,
and honestly,
it's 2015. It's
not I hate even, manure.
It's not even that far off the ground either.
No, it's not. So. They don't have to do much. but I did read a thing. You know, like the Shield helicarrier, right? I read a thing online where they were talking about how that would be impossible. Probably read this on Cracked because the force that it would have from the bottom of the helicarrier would just crush the city. It would just like it's so that much it would be so much to keep this thing in the fucking air that it would just murder everyone under it,
right?
Like, which I think is hilarious.
That'd be
good
bad
work
press
Shield.
For the shoot.
Yeah, so that'd be kind of rough.
Well, I've got a question. This is I don't know you guys personally until now. I just met you all like maybe 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Like, how old are you guys?
I'm 20. I'll be 21 next month.
I'm 23. I'll be 24 in April.
So fuck you guys. Yeah. I was not pulling this shit off when I was young.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, you know, you guys are being, you know, a bit younger than us. I'm about to be 32. How old are you, Sid?
35.
Yeah, you're
this
old.
Is for real gray hair.
You're halfway to 70. Yeah. Congratulations, you old
I
piece
am
of shit.
You guys are young.
Yeah, well, you're right. That's what my mom says. Oh, you're still young. You got your whole life ahead of you. But the reason I ask is, like, I'm curious, you know, you guys are, like, you know, younger hip-hop heads, and you're doing all, you know, the Shadow Pack stuff. Like, what, like, old and new... Like, what influence do y'all draw? Like, what kind of inspiration do you draw?
Fuck, I can see.
I know it. I know it's got to be, but like, in particular, like, right now, what can you, like...
Oh, man.
Like if you had to say three...
What's the hot word on the street, guys? Come on, gang. Let us know.
Yeah, come on, gang.
I mean, like, my core influences, absolutely. I'm going to do a few more than three, though.
There's many.
Core
go
influences,
hard.
Definitely Mos Def, Gangstar, and... probably MF Doom are my main core, but like
awesome.
Some of the newer cats that I've been listening to, I don't know, like I listen to a lot of Aesop Rock. The new Bestiary album came out. That shit's incredible. Run the Jewels.
God damn it.
God damn.
You were talking about how you were listening to shit that was inappropriate when you were too young.
Yeah.
It's my daughter's favorite record. She is five months old.
Yeah.
That's right.
Raising her right.
What's right?
Run
the Jewels too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Run the Jewels too. It's fucking
incredible.
It's the best.
I mean, granted, I know the Grammys don't have any merit in this day and age anyway.
Fucking pointless.
But it's still, there's a little part of me that really wanted Run the Jewels to at least be nominated for Best Hip Hop Album. It's bullshit, man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What won Best Hip Hop Album?
Eminem, the Marshall Mathers LP 2.
I didn't even know that that was a thing.
It's not good.
Well, I really did not know that. I didn't know Eminem was still a thing.
Yeah, yeah, he's not. He wants to be, but he's not. I mean, you know.
Is his hair still blonde, or does he still dye his hair?
He dyed it back. He dyed it back.
Wow.
It was brown for a while.
Oh, that's different. That's edgy.
It was still, he still had the, like, the short, tight thing going on, though. Oh. He just looked like he was going to... He just looks like a fart heifer.
Sid and I went to the same high school in North Bullitt. We went to North Bullitt High School in Bullitt County. And when I was like a freshman, sophomore in high school, like Eminem was like just he just become the thing, you know?
Yeah.
And every like white trash girl in our school was like, oh my God, you know, this is the girl. I don't know why I keep talking to this fucking California girl. Yeah. like all the California girls.
You went to Bayside High.
I went to Bayside in Bullitt County. It just seemed like everybody was so into Eminem. This, like 1998 or whenever that album came out. And I didn't like it then. I didn't like anything he did after that or in the middle. Or I don't like anything he does now. I don't know what he's like, you know, this like supreme like lyricist, I guess, as people.
Yeah. I mean, I love Eminem personally. Like, honestly,
I don't.
Like,
I, that's fine.
You
that's
do
cool.
like him?
I love him in like the mid to late 90s. You
right.
know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like the Marshall Mathers LP and the Slim Shady LP are two of the best hip hop albums of all time, in my opinion.
Okay.
I love those albums. I mean, there's songs on those albums I know from front to back. I mean, you know, that's also something that I started, you know, listening to, you know, transition from like middle school to high school. Like,
right.
Those albums mean a lot to me, really. They do. But like new, like everything from like Relapse on to what he's doing now, he just completely like changed his whole like flow and like rhyme
voice
scheme and
everything
and patterns. And
I'd like to interrogate
that. But he's
that.
So cute, though.
I would like to interrogate that just a little bit.
Okay.
Here's the thing. What do you think about his the production that he gets to rap to? And I'm talking like his old stuff, not his
right.
new stuff.
Right.
I can't really comment on the new stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think about his delivery? And what do you think about the content of his lyrics?
Okay. Well, I mean, production-wise, Marshall Mathers LP and Slim Shady LP, phenomenal. Because, I mean, a lot of that was Dre.
In his prime, too.
Dre in his prime, which was incredible. If we're going a little bit further past the Marshall Mathers LP, the Eminem Show and Relapse, he ventured in, like, his own, producing his own stuff. That's not very good. I'm not sure exactly. I know he's got like a variety of producers in his like newer albums, like Boy Wonder and some other people. I mean, they're hit and miss. But his older stuff was mainly Dre. Phenomenal. That's one of the things I loved about Eminem, like on the Marshall Mathers LP, especially his delivery and like his flow was almost flawless. Like for that time period, like he just. Almost like it's uncanny, like
incredible
the way he would just transition into rhymes, and I mean it's just awesome. Like the way I am, that song, you know,
yeah,
just the whole
chicka Slim Shady.
Yeah, I mean
it's just, that I mean he's just
he has a good
the way
cadence,
he structures
sure.
everything. I think there was this one song that he did. I can't remember what song it was, but he rhymes almost every single word in that song with another word.
Yeah, like the
so like,
rhymes are all...
The,
yeah.
No, like every word in the whole song rhymes with another word. And like, who the fuck does that?
Yeah.
You're like, you know what I'm saying? Right. And it made sense. It wasn't just like jump, pump, dump, lump. Like, he was just
like that whole on Criminal, like... My words are like a dagger with a jagged edge, stab you in the head, whether you a fag or les. Like, just like that whole...
Right.
His flow was just impeccable. And as far as lyrical content goes, I mean, it was... I think definitely as far as like mainstream hip hop, like he definitely set a certain tone to where, you know, because when he was saying all that type of, you know, all that stuff in the 90s, it was super controversial. You know, I mean, there was, you know, gay rights activists picketing outside of his concerts and every other type of activist ever. And then
Elton John is like, I like this guy.
Right. Which was insane, which was like crazy that he performed with him. Because like, you know, and I think it's just he really kind of molded that to where, you know, people aren't so sensitive.
Yeah, like
to that.
I can say you Skywalker Force to burn Paul Walker's Porsche and it'd be totally okay.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, or even more like Too soon. But
no, I literally to me there is no such thing as too soon.
Yeah.
Like as soon as like a celebrity dies, like my evil brain is just like think of something to like rap about that.
What
right
was
now.
It? Was it when Hoffman died? And I was like,
no, it
I'm
was
banned.
No,
no.
Here,
no,
it was Nelson Mandela. Mandela died, I sent Devin a text. I said, yeah. Mandela reference coming soon.
Yeah.
And Devin was like, no.
No.
How dare you?
Mandela is a hero.
I will tell you this. I still think any jokes about Michael Jackson are too soon. I'm just telling you right now.
I don't think so.
Yes. I think if you... Because fuck you.
I agree. I agree with you, Phil.
Powerful
thank
reference,
you. I agree. Because fuck you.
I don't think he did it. I don't think he touched it.
I don't think he did it.
I really don't.
I think he was misunderstood.
Because look.
I read a really interesting fan theory about Michael Jackson on Cracked, which was that he was, it's a fucking fan theory, so who cares? But like that he was castrated by Joe Jackson at a young age.
Whoa.
Well, think about his voice, though. Because his voice was forever high, right? You get castrated, you don't have the same sex drive, you know, so now it's just like, you know, you recast that whole scenario of him like, well, let's just hang out with kids. Like, yeah, I mean, he doesn't give a shit, you know, like he's not that dude. I don't
know. I mean,
something to make you think.
No,
you know?
I'm not thinking about it at all.
Yeah, because no, Phil, what you're currently thinking of is like, not my Michael Jackson. He had a full set, like all of his shit worked
all the way.
He had a 3-pound cock and it was awesome.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, you have
too
a parent.
Soon, Phil.
You have a parent, and like your kid's gonna go stay at like a multi-million-billion-dollar artist. House for the night, and that kid comes home, and you're a shitty parent. You know, you're gonna be like, "Hey, tell everybody that Michael Jackson touched you in a place you ain't supposed to be touched."
Thank you, so we can
get $1 million.
And how many Macaulay Culkin say this or something?
No, Macaulay Culkin and Corey Feldman were both like, "That's not true."
Yeah,
they're both like, "Hey, you're dumb."
I don't believe it. I think it's boring.
But I mean, yeah, you know, the pizza, like, what is it? The Pizza Underground. And then Corey Feldman just as a human.
No, wait, like, you're talking about Macaulay Culkin.
I mean, have you like?
You're saying that Macaulay Culkin and Corey Feldman aren't reputable.
They're not.
Yeah, no.
Well, fuck
not really,
everybody.
No.
Because if they're not reputable, then I just want to be dead.
Yeah, well.
If Corey Feldman isn't like the end-all, be-all of everything, then I'm dead right now. Fuck everybody.
Lost Boys, man.
See ya, man.
Classic. Lost Boys? How about fucking the Burbs?
Yeah.
How about fucking, we're talking about Corey Feldman. Stand we're talking about.
I'm just with Lost Boys.
No, fuck Stand By Me. I'm talking about fucking Friday the 13th, like part 4 or whatever it is, where he's like.
Oh, that's bold.
Yeah. The one he was in.
I love it that much. Like, whichever one he was in. I like that one.
How about
a lot.
Donatello?
Like, how about Donatello?
How about fuck you?
Nice.
So we never answered. We cut you off before you could answer the question. Like, what was the what were your influences? What are your three?
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I mean, man, there's a lot. I mean, definitely more recently. I mean, going back to like before me and Brad like hooked up and started this thing. Aesop Rock really is a huge, probably my biggest influence, just because, like, you know, I discovered him and his album Labor Days like changed the way I thought about writing hip hop. Like, you know, like it. Aesop is almost like a philosopher.
Sure.
He's a philosopher, and the way he writes his lyrics and like the way he.
It's like he's speaking in a different language. I mean, it really is.
Yeah, but everything
with the same language,
like, right? Exactly. Like every single song he like his writing process is just so intricate and has so many deep layers. And it's like, you know, I want to be able to do that. Like, I want to be able to have that type of skill level.
Like,
and I strive to still do that today. Like, granted, some of his stuff is a little too metaphorical.
Sure.
So, but
go on Rap Genius and look up any Aesop Rock song.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a smart
dude. And your fucking mind will be blown.
I think, like, did you guys see that, like, diagram, I think, of like that?
He has a bigger vocabulary than Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think he was, like, close to or above the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
No,
that's like fucking 13 dudes.
Yeah.
Like,
he was number one after everything.
Yeah, I knew he was like up at the top. I don't remember if he was the very top or not.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever explored anything else from that era? Like any of the other like Def Jux stuff or like Anticon stuff or anything like that?
Definitely like Def Jux. I mean, LP is also another one that's a big influence. I mean, his even like oh god, that's even going back to like Fantastic Damage.
That is
like
such a yeah. fucking awesome record.
Yeah, like that is amazing, and just like his whole, just the way LP, like creative, unique hip hop artists yeah. are just what you know what drives me to want to you know somehow you know be that way, and it's just like definitely Aesop and like LP and the whole like everybody that's. On Rhymesayers now, like that whole roster is incredible, sure. and then everybody that was you know in the Def Jux era also like just incredible, definitely huge inspiration.
Have so. You guys heard? There's one Buck 65 record that I really like. I don't really like the rest of his shit though, because it sounds like fucking G Love and the Special Sauce, which is if you don't know what that is, just don't. It's
welcome
not good.
To high school.
Yeah, it's not good. But like, there's one record that he did that's really fucking awesome called Man Overboard that I really dig. That was an Anti-Con record that's probably hard to find, but you know the internet.
Yeah.
And then there was another record that came out in maybe 2006 or 2007. Dalek, you guys know that dude? Mm-hmm. Oh my fucking god! It is probably, it's at least in the top three records of all time for me.
Really?
Yeah. And it's a record called Abandoned Language. It's just like the fucking the production on this record is the dopest shit in the world. He's like he has a lot to say. It's like super socially conscious. Like, check this shit out. I'm just absolutely. Saying like yeah. these no, are like two sure. of my favorite records.
Another dude that slept on pretty hard is Idea. Idea oh yeah, is fucking absolutely. Incredible.
Man. Absolutely.
He was in that like old Anti-Con scene, I think.
Yeah,
or
he was
like,
in he was with the Def Jux squad, okay. I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I kinda like came to all that stuff around the same time. So like right. I confused like some of the Cloud Death dudes and like yeah. the Def Jux stuff a little bit.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, besides as far as like, you know, older artists go, I mean definitely, you know, the like Outkast is, you know, a huge inspiration, and you know, Notorious B.I.G. and
sure.
well, let me ask you this. Let's go before that.
Sorry.
No.
He's
no.
just gonna cut you
no,
off.
No reason is it's in it's my brain. Good. I have to get it out because like it's in my fucking head. And because like growing up as a kid, when I was, you know, I'm like, I think I'm around 10 years older than both of you guys.
You are making a lot about age today, huh?
Well, the only reason being is because it's,
I feel like
hip hop as a genre, as in rap as a genre, is like a, like, hey, that came out last week, is old. Nobody cares about that anymore. Does that make sense?
Do you think so? Because
nowadays,
I just repped two records that are like a decade old.
Well, that's cute. But what I'm saying is, I feel like it's like, man, do you hear that 2 Chainz song? It's like, dude, that came out 2 weeks ago. It's fucking old now. Nicki Minaj just came out with a new song. It's way better than that. Drake just has a whole new album that he just like gave away. Nobody cares about that shit. I'm talking about mainstream, obviously, but that's how it's always been. And when I was a kid, as far as like hippie, you know, I was like, you know, not in my 20s, but when I was like my early teens, you know, it was all about like Public Enemy and LL Cool J and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I know when I was a kid, it was like coming to the end of like their, you know, reign, I guess, as LL Cool J being the guy. And Public Enemy being is like the thing, you know, all that early Def Jam shit.
Is there a question in this?
Well, my question is, do you guys give a fuck about like the early like Def Jam, like Beastie Boys? I'm not even like Beastie Boys only had one album on Def Jam, but like,
do you care about old shit? Is what he's trying to say.
Do you like,
punctuation
is there
mark
anything,
at the end?
Is there anything about
and,
like?
And
old,
by the way, 105.1 is a thing now that a lot of people
yes.
like.
That's yes, the only yes, radio yes, station yes. I've listened to since it came out.
That yeah, and Light 106.
I will say they did they have like stumbled it, a little bit.
Yeah,
105.1 because I heard I've heard reports more than once of them playing that song Informer by Snow. That's not okay.
Informer.
That's not okay.
I love that shit. Dude. That's my shit.
You're the only person I've ever heard say that. I mean, good. You know, I'm not busting on you. I'm just saying.
That's the only song I know.
Like I kind of want to call. That's the only song he had. I kind of want to call him and just be like, "That's no, you're done. It's fucking 105.1. You're done."
Yeah.
No, but what I'm asking is there something that's been lost? Like, because a lot of like, you know, beat makers and like hip hop artists are using like more like digital resources and things. Is there something, you know? And maybe I'm just like out of touch and I don't know anything. Because to be honest with you, I don't fucking know much about. I like hip hop, but I don't know much about its production. But I do, you know. Back when I was a kid, like there was a lot of like actual turntables being used.
Yeah,
and I had to walk both miles.
What I'm saying is, do you think there's anything that's lost by not, you know, as a beat that's made completely on a computer? as opposed to using a couple of turntables and actually doing it, recording it live like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we still sample off vinyl. We still do. I have a huge, I have like 2 or 3 crates full of vinyl just to sample off of. And I feel like when you sample off of vinyl, as opposed to, you know, coming up with some synth sound, you know, I just feel like it's a lot more intimate. You can actually, like,
I agree.
You can actually, like, feel that somebody took the time and was going through records and, like, oh, they found it and then they flipped it. I mean, there's still producers today, like DJ Premier. Have you guys heard the new Prime album?
No.
Oh, man.
You need to go hear the new
Prime
album.
Wait, did you send that
to me?
Yes,
I did.
Yes, I did hear that and I liked it.
It's fucking baller.
It is good.
Yeah.
I heard that, yeah.
It's DJ Premier just murdering shit.
And
but anyways.
Royce the 5'9".
Yeah, DJ Premier.
So okay, let me ask you this: if you got a, like, you know, a case of records that you like to sample, what is the most sampled? What is the record that you have sampled the most?
Smash Mouth.
Smash
Mouth.
No, I mean,
damn it, another Smash Mouth reference today. Fuck you.
I'm gonna try to work one into all of them.
Well, the producer in our group, our third member of Shadow Pact, is actually not here.
Yeah, she would answer that question.
She handles the production. Yeah. Unfortunately, she's at work. But that's Artemis. Artemis.
I got
Archer.
Her.
That's good.
I got her making the money for this relationship.
Oh yeah.
But I know she uses that drum. The drum kit record a lot.
Yeah, Dr. Dundiff gave Lauren a vinyl. It was just all different drum loops, just like old sample drum loops.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
She's been all over that, and she uses that a lot. And we just, I mean, we want to bring the essence of like the older shit, but we kind of want to put like a new twist on it. You know, we want to still have the core values of hip hop, and which is like something from nothing, generating sound off of recorded history and going off that.
Exactly. Well, she actually sampled that song that I wrote.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. I was like, I felt so good. Thanks, Bill. I like that reach around.
No.
I thought it was really cool. And actually, I think if I'm correct, because she posted it online, she was like getting some feedback. And I think that Dr. Dundiff responded to that and was giving her some feedback on like just tips on and ideas on what. And I think that's really cool that he was like trying to help mentor. He didn't seem condescending at all. It was just like, here are some ideas. These are things that they could, you know, you can improve and work on. And like, that's another thing, you know, that I wanted to kind of touch upon is like, how do you guys think about the hip hop community as a whole? Like, cause I see it as like very supportive. And I'm
for the most part, it really is.
Yeah.
We're all kind of like a tight knit family. You know, if say for instance somebody puts something out, you know that most people that like you rap with and done shows with and collaborate with, they're gonna share it, tell everybody, they'll listen to it. You know, it's a lot of support in it. And for example, if you got a track and you record it and you're not sure about it, you send it to one of your homies that rap as well, and they respond, oh man, this shit's tight, or you know, this shit's weak or whatever. And it's just all about feedback with them. And
Basically, like any big name that you're gonna see on any like big hip hop bill locally here. I mean, you know, from like, you know, Touch AC to like Bird Zoo, you know, to 1200 to Jalen to Skyscraper. Like all those dudes know each other and are, you know, real good friends with each other. I mean, it's very supporting.
That's so different. I can't speak for Sid, but when I was growing up, when I was in my, you know, teenage to like early 20s years, you know, unless I'm totally fucking unaware, which probably could be the case because I don't know anything, but there was no hip hop scene in Louisville. Like, we didn't have one.
Actually, I've been trying to work on for the Leo, like an oral history of like Louisville hip hop. And part of it is because, and this is how I pitched it there, you know, because part of the concern was, well, that's going to be really long. You could do a book out of that. And I'm like, well, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's not that extensive.
I don't think so. Like, I've been around a while, but I mean, I'm not trying to say like I know everything. I don't. There's like lots of shit that falls in the cracks. But like, I mean, I have been playing shows for fucking 18 years. You know, like, and that means that you have to, because this is pre-internet, so like I had to be aware of the other bands that were out there and the other things that were out there. So I might see a name and not know who the fuck that they are or what they're doing, but I would at least catalog that in my brain, like, well, that's a thing that's happening,
right?
You know, maybe, you know, store it for later, maybe that's a band that we could play with or fuck them or whatever, you know, whatever the deal is. And they're just, I think the only hip-hop group that I can think of before like maybe the last 5 to 7 years. I don't know. Is Code Red
or B-Sim?
That's the only thing.
Is that a thing? Is he still a thing? I don't know. You don't have to answer that. I don't think.
See, I mean, with like, as far as like.
That's the rope-a-dope guy, right?
Yeah, rope-a-dope. As far as like the older local hip-hop scene, I mean, I just think like me and Brad are, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, but just a little bit too young to.
I mean,
because I mean, I wasn't listening only, to like, anything
the
local.
The oldest
like,
stuff I think would probably be. I mean, Vilbillies, really.
Yeah, Vilbillies, I remember hearing. That's it. And B-Sims, Rope-A-Dope was everywhere when I was in, like, middle school, for sure.
Right.
The
most I know from B-Sim, just because I'm a Louisville Cardinal fan, is that whole, you don't want them cards, or whatever.
You don't want these cards.
Like, and the thing is, like, I joke about it, but it's like when Louisville's about to like play Florida State in football, I'm like, oh my God, please play that song right now. I can't get properly fucking amped until I hear that song right now.
Nice.
But no, it's stupid. Well, it's not stupid. It's just what it is. It's like a hype song. It's like they play it on the fucking, you know, on the speakers at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. I think he had a song back when Brian Brom and Michael Bush were still playing football at Louisville or
sports.
Are You Ready? Yeah, I think that's what it's called. I can't remember, but I remember they played. Like, he had a song playing to fucking, you know, 50,000 people, which was cool, but at the same time, it's like. Whatever.
It's an anthem, yeah.
It's like, it's
kind of smart though. I mean, fuck no, it. I mean,
I'm sure he made a good.
Seriously,
a good chunk.
If I could write a song for like. I mean,
for Lowe's?
Yeah, Lowe's.
Could you write a song for Lowe's?
Home Depot.
Yeah, I'd fucking do it. Yeah. I mean,
lawnmowers?
I used to work at.
Can you write about lawnmowers?
I used to work face-to-face customer service at LG&E, which was it's exactly as fun as you think.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, if Nickelback would have shown up and been like, "We need you. We need you in the band to play bass," I would have been like, "Let's do it. Let's go. Fuck this job so hard. I'm ready."
Wasn't Creed.
Yeah, well, I would have done it. I mean, at the time.
I think, you know, Skyscraper's been around for a while, too.
Yeah, they've been around for a while, too.
Skyscraper is a pretty prominent figure in Louisville hip-hop.
Yeah, absolutely.
I met Mr. Goodbar, actually, because he moved into the apartment that I used to live in.
Nice.
And I met him because he came into work. So just completely random at LG&E, he just came in to, like, get service in his name. And I was like, wait a minute, I used to live there.
Nice.
And so it was just kind of a weird coincidence. And, like, I gave him the good news, which was, like, there were three apartments in that place, right? There was the downstairs, which was like the whole first floor. It was like in a shotgun house kind of in Butchertown. There was an upstairs neighbor, and he was chill as fuck. He didn't give a shit. And then there was the neighbor in the back. And here's the thing about the neighbor in the back. This was the best shit in the world. It was totally just a bang pad, right? They did not live there. They did not live there.
What is a bang pad?
Well, these people were having an affair.
Oh.
And we found this out later. So, right? So, like, people, we would just hear, like, 1 o'clock every day, just like, get it! You know, just like, fucking just hard. And, but, you know, what can they say? I mean, so we had band practice in my room. Because what the fuck are they going to say? I would just be like, oh, really? Let me call your husband or wife. Yeah. How about shut the fuck up? That's a good neighbor to have. You have a party anytime you want. You do whatever you want.
Blackmail.
And then the dude upstairs, he didn't give a shit. He was like, yeah, fuck them. Like, let's just do it.
That's
so
awesome.
But we asked when you started, like, where do you see 2015 taking you and beyond? This isn't a last question either. It's
we're
just
probably going to have a whole lot of money. I mean,
don't forget your boys and never know. Yeah,
we have no money.
At least 10 Ferraris.
Yeah, that's right.
10 Ferraris. So.
Give us one Ferrari. Well, me and Sid will split it.
I need a golden toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a necessity.
Yeah. What are you going to make?
A golden toilet in the Ferrari.
When you get your first, like, you know, $1 billion check,
yeah,
what are you going to buy first? You first. What's up?
Better think about this one, man.
I mean, you kind of already blew it with
your
Ferrari
first,
and the golden
your
toilet.
First $1 billion check. What are you buying?
Is it $1 billion check for Shadow Pact or
check.
Per individual?
It says it's each individual member of Shadow Pact gets $1 billion check. It's like, here's your
billion-dollar
check.
This is like
check.
Some serious, like, Wild Stallions Bill and Ted money. Right. Like, you have just saved the world with your rhymes. Like,
yes. Yes.
Like President Rand Paul is like, here you go.
Yes.
He's was like, please, please, and please spend something. Do it now. What are you buying?
Oh, shit.
See,
I think I would build like a super awesome sled and then just have like 100 huskies just pull me everywhere I go.
Nice.
Even
wow.
even okay. in the grass, like, even when it's not snowing.
Yeah, even when it's not snowing. Like it could be like 103 degrees out and I just got huskies just getting it. Just yeah. going. Like, just fucking going. Like, oh shit, here comes Sly Cooper. How do you know? There's 150 dogs running at me at full speed. And like, and yes. then I got a team of guys that like feed and water them and clean up their shit, and they right. just they just walk behind me. They fucking hate their life. I pay a minimum wage. It's I'm awesome, an asshole.
You invite them to your Christmas party. It's all good.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
You get out dog, the you get out the good hooch at that party.
Yeah.
The $1 billion hooch.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Oh god.
Would you have a would you have a toilet on your
side? Oh, absolutely. Like, hey, come on. It'd be decked out. I'd have a flat screen.
The toilet would just be a hole, would it not?
Like, yeah, the idea of it just being a hole. So there's just like waste all over there. Like behind you're just like riding around, oh, just I like guess shitting all
you
over
see,
the
you, you see a turd on the street, you're like, oh, I guess. Yeah.
You just see a fucking string, like a line of turds. Oh, like, that's not a, he went that way.
That's not a dog turd.
Gross.
Yes. So, what are you buying?
Man. Probably
world peace, right?
Yeah, sure. No, I would invest the money into like.
Don't be fucking old. Building, you said invest.
No,
like.
Invest it into like building my own like super secret spy organization. You know nice. What I mean? And then I would just like go on like black ops missions, and
like
stuff.
Hydra.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah, Hail Hydra. But like, and if it got like too crazy, you know, I'd let my homies do the grunt work for me, and then I would just sit back with like Phoenix feather robe and smoke a cigar.
Obviously,
be like, you know, get them.
You finally have like, a reason to do that.
Exactly.
Exactly.
A golden cigar.
Yeah, a golden cigar. Yes.
I mean, come on.
Yes.
It just got to go cigar. All the way. Like mm-hmm. a cigar made of Secretariat or something.
poor Secretariat.
Well, no, back to your actual music. There's a song from your narrative record that I really like in particular. The name, it's.
He told me he didn't like the rest, though. Just this one.
I hate this one time. I like everything else.
Just fucking. So gang up on him. I'll hold him down.
No, it's all good, it's man. All
no,
good,
there's
yeah.
no.
Have your opinion.
That's
it's
not true.
Good.
That's not true. But no, there's one song. I'm a total, like, Nintendo nerd.
You mean 8 Bits of Happiness.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. That, and I think I like the whole record. I like it a lot. Like,
thanks,
we all
man.
Liked it.
Yeah, it's great.
And
it's
I mean,
awesome.
I haven't heard anything from you guys. It was in, like, this came from Louisville? Like, why is Louisville. How did this happen in Louisville? But, I'm a big, you know, I collect Nintendo games, classic Nintendo games, and
Awesome shirt! I didn't even notice. Awesome.
I didn't realize I was even wearing the shirt. I fucking swear to God, I'm wearing a dumb shirt.
Oh God, I didn't realize I was wearing my Nintendo cartridge shirt.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, that song was cool. I don't know if there were actual samples used in that or not. I was curious.
No, those.
Hey, remember when you all made 8-Bit?
And I'm not sure Dundiff produced it.
Yeah, Dundiff did that.
I know there's samples from Pokemon.
Well, I mean, like the, what do you even call it? The sounds, the fucking help MIDI keyboard. I don't know what you're using in that.
You're a writer.
No, I'm saying I don't know how do you
Use your words.
What are the keyboards used back in like 1987 when you're making the soundtrack to Mario 3? I don't know. Like, what do you call that?
I think it's
tell
like.
Tell me.
They were really limited to what they could use.
It's
for
like
the
Well, I know because like now, like, you know, I used to have a synthesizer and you could like run MIDI through it and you could get those sounds. But obviously they weren't doing that when they're running sound through a fucking Nintendo cartridge.
Yeah.
So, and I'm saying that you guys or Dundiff got the sound like almost like it's fucking perfect. It's so good. I wasn't sure if that was an actual sample or not.
He plugged his like audio cord into a Game Boy. I'm almost certain he did.
So he got it out of a Game
awesome.
Boy.
Yeah. He got it off
so
a
it's
Game
not
Boy.
Even, it's an actual Game Boy. It's not even Nintendo. That's a fucking Game Boy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is so. I'm just saying. The song's great, but the beat just like gets me so hard.
Oh, yeah. It really does. Yeah. He is all the way hard right now.
Yes, it's I'm incredible. So all the way.
For the podcast audience out there, just imagine Phil all the way hard.
All the way hard.
He is there.
Yeah. Dunham's production is ridiculous.
Incredible.
Good, so.
Yeah.
Go buy Frenemies with Benefits.
You guys have had
Frenemies with Benefits. I can't endorse that enough.
It's so good.
Because I didn't even know it was coming out. It just kind of happened for me. I'm sure you guys probably knew about it before I did, but it just kind of happened. It was like, whoa! It just kind of fell in my lap, and it was like, this is so fucking good.
Yeah.
It's so
I knew
good.
About it like 3 months ago.
I knew it. Whatever.
I knew about it 6 months ago.
Dude. We knew about it last two.
I knew about it before you guys even.
We were in the room when he did it.
No.
So, you know, where do you all like draw, you know, in a non-production question, like where do you all draw your like, you have a lot of nerd imagery from your, in your lyrics, which that resonates well with
me. Yeah, it gets me hard too.
You know, so Phil's all the way hard again. Sorry guys.
Yes.
Not trying to make it awkward for you all. But you know,
I'm hard too.
Think about it. Okay.
We're all shirtless. We're all hard.
Yep. But
where's the oil at? Let's get this party started.
Let's go.
Baby oil.
But you know, so where, you know, how do you all see yourself in like nerd culture broadly? Like, I don't want to say where do you get your ideas. That's fucking dumb. Yeah,
well, actually, but,
you
know, I was like, gonna say, like,
how do you place your music in that culture, and then how do you place that into hip hop culture? And
like, I was writing about Jarrell's latest song, your latest single.
Add to my question, Phil.
Well, I am. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I was just saying before when I was typing the first words about it, I was like, it literally took like 10 seconds before like the first pop culture reference happened. And it was like, boom, I was going to write about, you know, but I didn't choose that angle. But I'm just saying, like, literally, like, it's like, there's like pop culture reference after pop culture reference. And that's,
and they're great. They're quick and they're great. Smart.
Yeah.
And they're fun. And it keeps you like thinking. And it's like, it almost makes it like, I still want you all to answer this question because he didn't actually ask the question.
Can I add this again?
No. But it's almost, it's like an onion, you know, like there's layers to everything. Yeah. So the more you listen to it, the more you'll get out of it.
Yeah.
Well, but anyways,
yeah, I mean, I grew up, my brothers, they were always into like the 90s X-Men TV series, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
The 90s Spider-Man series.
Have you watched either one of those recently?
Yes.
Not recently.
I actually own every DVD from the X-Men cartoon series. Yeah. I still watch it regularly, so fuck you.
That's awesome.
It's,
whoa. What are you trying to say? It's not good?
It's still incredible.
Served.
I love it.
Okay.
Still.
You guys are right.
Do you like it too?
I love it.
I know it doesn't follow the comic exclusive. It doesn't follow the comic.
I don't
like,
care about that. It's just like Rogue's voice. Come on, Sugar.
Come on, Sugar. Gambit. I can't kiss you because I'll kill you.
Come on, Remy.
Jubilee's.
Come on, Remy. I can't do that. I'll kill you.
I don't like Jubilee.
You smell like piss.
Yeah.
Man, I just want to like not be able to not do this.
I grew up just, you know, watching that stuff and always playing like video games, like, you know, Crash Bandicoot and, you know, WWE games. And
yes, always, on 64.
No, on PS1.
What the fuck was that?
Kitty cat.
We're being broken into.
My cat just did something, or I have two cats. What, who cares? Anyway.
Or it was a phantom.
Or, yeah, whatever.
It's the League of Assassins.
Duh, it was Luigi's Mansion. We're living in it right now.
That game is fucking hard, by the way.
Yeah.
I revisited that game. I have a GameCube. I actually have a huge collection of old school video
games.
Hey,
after this, nice. After this interview's over, can you please come into my game room? And can we like just hang out for a minute?
Yes.
Okay. Keep in mind, Phil's all the way hard.
No, behind this window
like,
right
he's
there.
He's asking you into a room.
I have a game room.
Secluded.
And we're going to totally just like hang out and like wrap arms and we're going to like fucking talk
because
about
because
it.
Because I have something similar. In my basement, I have like a big open basement, and I've got it like into sections. I got like the living room. There's no doors or walls or anything. It's got like a living room, and then I've got like my game area. I've got a huge ass old school TV, and I've got a GameCube, 64, SNES, Genesis, PS2.
Original. Best Genesis game ever. Tell me, what's your favorite Genesis game ever? Go.
Sonic.
That's a great answer.
The right answer.
Sonic 1, Sonic 2, Sonic 3. Sonic and Knuckles, what?
Probably Sonic 2.
That's the best answer you've given in your whole life.
That's
the end.
The best Sonic game.
I'm dead serious. Sonic 2 is such a great game. Yeah. Sorry to totally derail everything about this question.
Yeah.
I've fucked everything. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
You're a failure.
But I just, like, when I'm writing, I'm always like, I don't know. I feel like sometimes I'm a little too reference heavy. Like, because sometimes I don't want to just us be classified as like a nerdcore hip hop, which is the actual genre where people, all they do is rap about nerdy shit, which is, you know, it's kind of cool, but I want to be more saw and respected as, you know, as an MC, as a hip hop artist, not, you know, just some kid.
Not some gimmick or some bullshit.
Basically not pigeonholed into just one specific genre.
Yeah, you're not like MC Chris.
Personally, I've never thought of you guys. I just think it's like, hey, they talk about shit, then it's like, boom. It's like, whoa, you guys talk about Professor X. That's awesome.
Yeah, right. But it's always, it's always like a reference to something. I mean, it has a greater significance. It's not just like a reference for the sake of a reference. So I don't know. I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Right.
But I always just try to find like I feel like I'm running out of shit to reference though at this point, like, because I was like, I've hit Dragon Ball Z, X-Men, like I've hit it all, like Zelda, like I'm on it. Yeah. But
you need to start referencing more horror movies. That's just my suggestion.
See, I don't really watch horror movies
because what I suggest matters. By the way,
I've had a couple.
Have you had a horror movie reference?
I've had a few.
Give me one.
I can't remember. But I know I had that.
He's
that,
trying to call you, out, man.
I'm not at all.
I had that Eli Roth one where I was like,
If you're
acting hostile, I have to off you like Eli Roth or something like that.
Speaking of hostile, that scene where they cut the guy's like Achilles or whatever, part still gives me like the biggest non-boner ever. Just saying, like I can't, like my butthole tightens up
like
so hard.
Entirely like grades things on a scale of boner or non-boner,
or like butthole tight, or like butthole tightening up to where the point where like a turd, there's no way it's
clear. And then in 8-bit, I had that
The Rob Zombie line.
The mindless prance around with horses. So I rob a couple zombies and leave a thousand corpses.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's good.
Thanks, man.
But how do you see? I mean, so I guess the answer is like, you know, you want to be, you like the references, but you don't want it to be such a part of nerd culture that it's just pigeonholed as like, this thing.
Yeah, right. We rap about other shit. There's like where there's no references, where we just talk about like political shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, fuck you, Rand Paul.
Mitch McConnell.
I told you about the future, didn't I? Rand Paul is there.
Yeah. I'm totally voting for Rand Paul.
President Rand Paul.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely think that you know, nerd culture does, you know, relate to hip hop in some aspect. Or I mean, I guess it just depends on the artist. I mean, if you have an artist, I mean, hip hop's all about, you know, and when you're writing a hip hop song, you're writing about, you know, your personal experiences and, you know, things that you like and things that matter in your life and stuff. So I mean, if you have an artist who grew up on video games, who grew up on, you know, 90s X-Men cartoons and stuff like me and you did,
Parcheesi,
you
know, I mean,
that's gonna be in your
about.
Music,
you know? Will y'all please write about Parcheesi, please?
Just stop taking a suggestion.
Chinese checkers.
Parcheesi and horror movie references.
Thank you. And Pinochle.
There you go. Okay.
I'd have to say though, MF Doom totally opened the door for like nerdy shit just because of the Fantastic Four shit that he sampled. MF Doom is probably like one of my favorite rappers of all time.
I really
time.
Like that food. I think it's called Food. What's that
food?
Album? Mm-hmm. Food. Yeah. Food. That album is so hilarious and so great. There's a song where he samples Sade. I can't remember the name of it, but it's God, it's so perfect. It's
Do
so
you guys
good.
Have you guys heard King Ghidorah?
Yes.
Yeah.
That fucking Fantastic. That song that he
King
does with
Ghidorah,
Mr.
Take me to you.
That shit's great. And that song that he does with Mr. Fantastic on there. No matter how.
Oh yeah.
That shit's the best.
Even his lines like are very like nerd. Like he. Oh god.
He
dude,
said,
"I first met Mr. Fantastic at an arms deal."
Done.
That shit's done. Ridiculous. Like it's so good.
Done.
I'm so pissed that I never thought of that one.
And he references like he's like 1-2-3 shot blocko, and that's how it goes in this modern life,
like Rocco.
Like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
I have not heard that, but that just gave me a boner.
Yeah.
Was that on Meds?
No,
that
Meds
was on. It was a White Van Music.
Yeah, White Van Music. Jake One.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
God, he's.
Was it or was it not the B-52s that did the modern life? Rocco's modern life. Theme song.
Was it?
Anybody know?
Did B-52s do
it? It's either that or like a sound alike band. Hmm. That's all. I'm sorry.
I don't
That's
know.
All I have to say about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what the show I'm talking about? Rocco's Modern Life?
It was like
Rocco's Modern Life.
It was supposed to sound like the B-52s. Was it or was it not? Because I know they did the Flintstones thing.
If only there was an internet to answer your question, Phil.
If only there was a beer that I could drink right now.
There it is.
So what's the show you guys are playing tonight?
It is.
This will not come out today.
It's all good.
It's Aaron Nall's birthday show. It's To Die Alone. Stone, Forgetting Scarlet, Marty Bars, and us. I think that's the bill.
Yeah. Awesome.
Ready to go there, jam it out, eat some pizza.
We love Spinelli's, man. I love Chris.
Which Spinelli's is it?
Downtown.
Okay.
Yeah. We played a lot of
shows.
That's
like our home base, for sure.
Yeah.
We can just pretty much do whatever the fuck we want.
What time does that show start?
I think it starts at 7.
And what time does that show start?
7.
For real, what time?
So it'll actually start on time?
7:30.
Are you for real? So serious?
Well, doors are at 6:30, so it'll probably start around 7-ish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Now, here's a question that I have related to that, and we'll start trying to wrap this up so you guys can get to your pizza.
Absolutely.
I'm not trying to come between anybody and their pizza.
Hey, man. Spinelli's pizza. It's amazing.
But, you know, this show is like you all and like hardcore or like just broadly stated like rock bands, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for the most part.
How do you guys feel about like mixed genre shows? How well do they go over for you guys?
I love
versus how well do they go over? How well does like an all hip hop show go over? Like, what's your preference?
Well, we've done a bunch of just like pure hip hop shows,
yeah.
And for the most part, they've been pretty shitty. Like, because, you know, there's a layer of just shit. Like, I'm not trying to down anybody on their music, but I mean, there's people that are just awful. That's just my opinion.
The thing is, like, yeah, there's people that, like, you know, doesn't have their heart into it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They're just fucking around.
Yeah.
Right.
Just like, I'm trying to freestyle. You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying? Like, anyways.
But read my review of the Alcoholics show that happened a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that shit was fucking garbage. So yeah. Like, I hear what you're saying.
But anyways, I mean, we've done like all local hip hop shows, and some of them been good, some have been bad. But for the most part, mixed genre shows, like people are just like, they're not ready for it. They don't know who Shadow Pact is. They don't know there's a hip hop act gonna be there. So
right.
When we go on stage and we do our shit, people are just like, what the fuck was that? And they're like, that was awesome, man. And they buy an album. They weren't expecting any hip hop. And
I think
it's cool. But like when we play mixed genre shows, there's like hardcore bands. Like, I'm a little dude, but sometimes I will go in there and I'll fuck some people up in the mosh pit.
Nice. Like, I don't go to shows like, and get punched in the face. That's
like, I've never like intentionally hurt anybody, and I've only done it a handful of times. But sometimes
sometimes you just gotta get
my
rowdy.
Boys in Frailty or To Die Alone are just like just fucking getting it. I'm just like, you know what? I'm gonna go punch this fat dude right now and then get the fuck out of there.
I don't know if you agree with me on this, but like I think the response at mixed genre shows from like, you know, the crowd is better in some aspects than some of the all hip hop shows we've done.
We actually did a mixed genre show for the first Bad Wolf release, and it went on great. We had techno players, acoustic, rap, hardcore,
and
rock.
It was beautiful. Like this one guy that after our set, I think it was some show we did at Spinelli's that was mixed genre, said like probably the most meaningful comment I've ever received is that he went up to us and he was like, "You guys, your music is very inspiring and beautiful."
Awesome.
And I was like,
it's but he was awesome. Also drunk.
That's honest.
Sure.
And
he might have been
great.
Drunk, but let's not talk about him being drunk.
No,
let's
awesome.
Talk about we got that comment.
So I wish I've heard that before.
I love mixed genre shows, man. Like,
I know what you're talking about. What show that was? I remember that.
Yeah. So I mean, mixed genre shows are amazing. I think it definitely gives a chance for everybody to appreciate
other
music that they wouldn't normally listen to. Like, I remember the first time we did a mixed genre show, or actually it was just a hardcore.
Yeah,
only.
It was just hardcore only, and then
only hip hop band.
How do you all get on these shows? Do you all ask, or does somebody ask you all?
We have a very close working relationship with our friends in Frailty, which is a hardcore band in Louisville.
And To Die Alone.
Because Bad Wolf sponsors Frailty, and just Naraya and all of them, and they're just our homies. And sometimes they'll be like, you know what, shout out back, you guys want to hop on this bill? And fuck yeah, let's do it. I don't care. I mean,
and Chris too.
Chris AMC. And Andy Moreno, all of them.
Is that how you guys hooked up with Little Heart?
Yeah, yes. was via Chris.
Brian's
Chris.
A cool dude.
Brian Puckett is
coolest.
Amazing. I can't say enough about him. Man.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's so
definitely awesome. One of the coolest people we've met in doing this music shit. Besides you guys, of course.
Right.
duh.
But no, he's cool as fuck, man. Yeah, Puck's the man.
Yeah, he's really sweet. Well, we'll wrap it up so you guys can leave. The two questions that we always ask at the end of every interview.
What's the best pizza in Louisville? Go.
Nope. Go ahead.
Yeah. If you're going to eat pizza right now,
If I had a time machine,
excluded from Pinelli, not Spinelli's. Where are you going
to
eat pizza?
Time machine. I'm going to create one. Then I'm going to go to the fucking Bardstown Road Papalino's and eat there.
Yeah,
like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That's good. I get what you're saying.
For me, probably Bonnie and Clyde's on Dixie. They're amazing.
I've never been there.
I've never been.
So good. It's like brick oven pizza. It's real good.
Yeah. I know. I mean, it's out near where my band practices. So we're probably practice like right near you.
Yeah,
actually,
it's real good.
No, the two questions that I always ask at the end of every interview I ever do: what non-musical things are you all interested in lately? What non-musical things are you interested in lately? And what have you been listening to, and why should we?
Far Cry 4.
Did I say non-musical things have you been listening to?
Yeah.
What non-musical things have you been into?
Yeah.
And what musical things have you been listening to? And
make it more complicated.
As far as non-musical stuff, I've been playing Far Cry 4, which is pretty awesome. I haven't played any of the other previous Far Cries, but I they had
you
a
fucked
discount.
Up the continuity.
Are
dude.
You at all? Are you? Yeah. Are either of you at all into NBA 2K?
Yes.
Games? Are you into 2K15 right now?
Yes. Do you have Xbox Live?
Yes. Do you think you can beat me?
Probably.
You're wrong.
Are you sure?
I think you guys need to exchange.
Me and Brad have 2K matches, and we get real. Our friendship has been tested.
Yes,
quite a bit on 2K matches.
Oh,
like,
well, guess what? I'm serious. I'm about to play both of you and teach you like.
We'll do like 2 minute quarters, and I'll crush you.
2 minute quarters.
Yeah.
Wow. Why do you do 2 minute quarters?
Because it's 5 o'clock.
Okay, but you can't. That's not. There's no flow of the game.
Well, I mean,
Phil, there's no
okay.
Hour.
Well, shit, man. Chris Bosh is like tearing my ass up right now. I'm gonna double team his ass. Do you like not you, dude? Oh my god, I've got so much to teach you.
Sports.
We'll have a bro day.
We'll have
dude,
a man. We should come like, over, or we'll come over here and we'll just game it. The fuck.
I told you, I'm showing you both my game room.
Absolutely.
And maybe you'll be like, whatever. Mine's way better than yours, but yours is way better than mine. But I'm telling you, we need to do this.
Compare it.
Yeah, I'll get your gamer tag, and I will crush you when I get home from Spinelli's. I will destroy you.
Oh, this motherfucker will be in bed.
Oh, fuck you.
I'll be the
this fucking grandpa here will be in bed at 10.
And Gary Payton and Sean Kemp will tear you.
Oh, so you're using like old school teams.
We always do like.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'll be the Pistons. Really I'll be the modern day Pistons and beat your.
I don't know about current sports at all. Yeah. I know Kobe and Shaq, and I always use them.
Do you know Derrick Rose? Because that motherfucker will kill you in that game. I'm just telling you right now. If I'm Derrick Rose,
I would just be like Dennis Rodman.
There you go.
which Dennis Rodman?
Dennis Rodman in
Korea?
And Kim Jong Un.
Yeah.
And like it would be the two of us versus you, Electric Rodman. I had a shirt that just said Electric Rodman. And it had his face, like, just on that was the shirt, the whole shirt. And it just said Electric Rodman and, like, fucking Comic Sans.
Yes.
And I was in a band called Lee Van Cleef for, like, 7 years or something. Every fucking show we ever played, I wore that shirt.
Yes.
Every show.
Perfect.
And here's the thing. It was kind of small, which is awesome. So the fatter I got, like,
the,
the more like tight it was and just like stretched out and ugly. But I don't give a shit. Like, I would wear it if my gut was hanging out, which it didn't. I didn't get that fat. But
yeah,
I'm just saying. So non-musical things, Far Cry 4 and whatever
4.
Fucking sports thing he's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
Reggie Miller.
Yeah, Far Cry 4. I've also been reading some Nightwing comic books.
Is it good? Like New 52 Nightwing?
Good. Nightwing is good.
Okay.
And then musical stuff, I've been listening to a lot of Shiesty Curse. Do you guys know who Shiesty Curse is?
I don't.
I just discovered him last night. My fucking mind is blown. He's from Kentucky. He works with Low Fidel, which is a good friend of Dr. Dundiff's, who's an amazing producer as well. They're based in Lexington. Dude sounds like Jay-Z a little bit. His voice does. But he's just... Oh, God. He's fucking incredible. Shiesty Curse. And been listening to Bestiary, of course. And... Oh, I got a Mad Lib album and a Homeboy Sandman album I listened to last night. I got for Valentine's Day. And... Oh, Black on Both Sides. I listened to that the other day, too.
Nice.
Man,
so non-musical things that you've been into and musical things that you've been listening to.
I guess non-musical, Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh yes,
I just got a PS4 like a few months ago, and I got that game like last month. And anytime that I'm not like
working my day job or working on music, I'm playing. I'm like addicted to the game.
Is it not an Xbox available game? Is that PS4 only?
No, it's on Xbox.
What exactly? Describe it.
Have you ever played any other Dragon Age?
Nope.
Have you ever played Mass Effect?
Nope.
Okay.
They're like RPGs, like a Western RPG, like in the
somewhat
same line
similar
as like
to Skyrim.
Skyrim, like, but not okay, Skyrim. Yo, Fallout, that type of kind of in that same vein.
I wish I had more. I wish it had VATS.
I'm fucking like, Fallout 3. Yes.
Fallout 3 is my favorite game of all time.
Have you guys had a Fallout reference?
Yes.
Yeah.
He did.
The last stop was Vegas, and I waited for the Fallout.
It's great. Yeah, it's awesome.
So Dragon Age for sure. That's just eclipsed any time that I had like free time or whatever. So honestly, makes me sound like a huge nerd, but I mean, whatever.
It's a great game, guys.
Great game. Musically, Frenemies with Benefits, man. Honestly, like
it's so fucking good. It's really good.
I've been bumping that. Kogan Dumb's album, Yim Dollar Sign.
That's
incredible.
I'm an abstract black man. he's so unique, man. He's really nice too.
Yeah, not on the local front. There was this band that I discovered a few weeks ago called, I think the pronunciation is Sunlux. It's like spelled S-O-N space L-U-X. Somebody might listen to this podcast, correct me, be like,
I've heard of that or something.
Yeah. But that band's really, I think they're playing at Forecastle actually.
What kind of
too.
Music is it?
It's like, it's like indie, like electronic, like
kind of like Kenny Loggins.
Not at all. More, I guess, kind of along the lines of maybe like Alt J ish a little.
But
they're real good, so I've been listening to them too.
Well, speaking of Forecastle, Big Crit is playing.
Yeah,
how do y'all feel about him? I'm a big fan of him.
I'm more excited for People Under the Stairs.
Yeah, me too.
Are you really?
Yes.
People Under the Stairs is
fucking dope.
They're incredible.
They're awesome.
But Crit's good. I like Big Crit. I honestly
like it a lot.
Admittedly, I haven't heard a whole lot by him, but what I've had heard, it's pretty good as far as like, you know, Southern, like that. He really has that like Southern hip hop thing.
Atlanta sound.
Yeah, that
yeah.
Atlanta.
Yeah. It's like there and it's just fucking in your face. And there's no question where he's coming from. It's like the first note comes out. It's like, oh, okay, got it.
Yeah, exactly.
We got you.
All right. Well, thanks for coming to the podcast today and listening to Phil mostly dominate the conversation about what Phil had on his mind.
And being hard.
Can we talk about Captain Crunch?
Can we do something? Can we do something else? Can we do another thing?
Well, thanks for having us, man.
Thanks so much for having us.
For being on here, it's man. You guys are awesome. Yeah. Never Nervous is amazing. Y'all.
Do yourself a treat and go type in Y with a question mark.
Oh, yeah.
And check them out because they're fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
that dude was in Clouded.
He was in where?
Clouded.
I don't know what that is.
Cloud and then dead, and they're all, it's all run together.
Oh.
It's like an Anticon thing. It's good. It's like Y and fuck, what's that other dude's name? I don't know. Some other guy.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really solid. Yeah. Anyways.
All right.
Thanks.
Cool.
Thanks, guys.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Straight out the fortress of solitude, I bury the bodies at a lottery ticket's longitude. And don't forget the latitude or aggressive, atrocive adolescent attitude. I woke up with adamantium in my flesh. Then I started slashing all the sentinels to death. I must confess I've been a mess. Brains filled with stress by Professor X. Super Saiyan slaying savage, equipped with several semi-automatic attachments. Lost in space with Clank and Ratchet. These Cyclops can't take the havoc. Shit, I'm surprised you're alive, dude. I put the Phoenix down, but they still revive you. Most unstable in the industry, with Tim Furs as bad as Oak's memory. Planet am I from? Probably the one that's farthest from the sun. They said, quit rap, cause I'm whiter than Finn's hat. That's about as likely as Peach not getting kidnapped. Stare at these daredevils, you'll go blind quick. Come through with blunt force and Jedi mind tricks. Rhyme sharper than Mortal Kombat spikes. At the end of this verse, I'ma leave you like.
It's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
You may now board the Normandy, skip past the normalcy, kickstart the dormancy, legend is what I'm born to be. I cordially invite you to disable and vanish, earn currency at the poker tables with Gambit. I'm rocking with a posse so cocky, even S.H.I.E.L.D. couldn't stop me with every single adventure in their army. Who watches the Watchmen? Two shots to your cockpit with beams that are psychoclopic. It seems that I'm psychotic, a mutant with sly logic. Weapon X, I'm a byproduct, binding your eye sockets. The mindless don't lead, they prance around with horses. So I rob a couple zombies, leave a thousand corpses. I bought a happy mask from a salesman at the gates. He told me it's apparent I've met a terrible fate. Correct, so after checking all the names I've called out, my last stop was Vegas and I waited for the fallout.